Much like in the general population, the most common type of burn or mechanism of burn injury is a scald. And that's pretty much the same for patients that are in residential facilities, nursing homes, assisted living facilities, et cetera. And that could be a scald injury from a hot liquid, hot soup, hot food, to a scald injury during bathing or showering.
Hey out there, welcome back to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. I am Rob. I'll be your host. And today we are talking about the stepchild of wounds in nursing homes, and that being skin tears and burns. And I say that not as a joke, but we tend on this episode, on this show, to talk about pressure injuries. Like anytime we're talking about wounds, we're talking about pressure injuries. But today it's not the case. Talking about how skin tears and burns happen in nursing homes and how we can recognize them and treat them. But we're not doing that alone. We're certainly not doing that alone because I don't know anything. We're going to have the fantastic Suzanne Mitchell on the show to discuss all about skin tears and burns. But for now, it is time for the nursing home regulation question of the week. And again, another opportunity for you not to enter the contest to win this Nursing Home Abuse Podcast mug. That's right. It is the perfect vessel from which to drink your morning coffee to have a chance to win. But let's be frank, no one is going to do this, not even the Dirty Dozen that listens to this show, the Dirty Half Dozen, I should say. But if you do want to try, you go to our TikTok, which is at Justice for Residents. Find the question of the week video. How do you do that? You are looking for the thumbnail that has Kim Cattrall in it. Yes, the actress from Sex and the City. So you're going to find Kim Cattrall. You're going to comment the answer to the question and also your favorite member of Sex in the City. Which Sex in the City gang do you like the most? My answer is Kim Cattrall. I don't think I've seen a single second of that show. Gene just said that we need to have, you know, more relevant questions. I don't know. But I do remember as a kid the movie Mannequin, and Kim Cattrall was, I think, the mannequin in Mannequin, and that was one of my favorite movies when I was a kid. So that's why she's the answer to this question for me. But at any rate, comment your favorite Sex and the City member and the answer. You're going to be randomly selected at the end of the week on Sunday. So go to TikTok to find out, or go to shinkfirm.com/podcast/giveaway. The mug will ship at the end of the month. Difficulty level this week, I think, is medium hard. If you get this right, give yourself a couple pats on the back. Under 42 CFR 483.40, the nursing home is required to provide what behavioral health care? Is it A, medically related social services, B, psychotherapy, or C, behavioral health services are optional and only needed to be provided if a resident or family member requests them? And that answer is A, under the behavioral health services reg. Medically related social services are required to be provided to residents. All right, folks, now it's time to get into the meat and the French fried potatoes of the episode. As I mentioned, we are not having a conversation about skin tears and burns alone. We have the fantastic Suzanne Mitchell on the show. Suzanne is a seasoned nurse practitioner with over 4 decades of experience specializing in burn care and complex wounds. She earned her BSN from George Mason University, her MSN from Georgetown University, and a PhD in nursing with a focus on telemedicine and burn care. A board-certified wound specialist and clinical associate or assistant professor, Suzanne is passionate about education. In 2022, she founded the Mitchell Nurse Consulting, providing expert support in burn and wound litigation. And we're so happy to have her on today. Suzanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We have talked a lot on this podcast about wounds, but 95% of the time that we're talking about wounds in the show, it's pressure injuries. So I'm super excited to have you on the show to kind of talk about like the cousins of wounds, that being burns and kind of your typical skin tears and where they come from and how they're treated and how we can prevent them in long-term care. So the first thing is this, is in your experience, how is the typical skin tear happening in a nursing home?
Well, I feel like I should start off by mentioning what a skin tear is. So a skin tear is essentially that shearing force. So if you can kind of imagine an object shearing across an individual's skin or friction, or blunt trauma, where an individual or nursing home resident bumps their arm or leg against a solid object. And I think it's underappreciated in the sense that, you know, the skin's normal aging physiology associated with that is that the skin gets thinner as we get older. And it's much easier to separate that outer layer of skin, the epidermis and dermis, from the layers underneath the subcutaneous tissue. So skin tears typically will occur on an extremity, upper extremity and lower extremity. It could occur because a nursing home staff is transferring a patient from the bed to a wheelchair or a chair, and they're using the patient's arms instead of a gait belt, and there's that shearing friction. Or it could be that the resident is a fall risk and they have fallen and bumped their arm on a bedside table, or they're in a wheelchair and they've scooted past the doorway and they're shearing their arm against the doorway. Or it could be a lower extremity thin skin, or it could be somebody that has a lot of edema in their lower legs and they get some shearing that occurs that way. It can also be that inadvertently they have a dressing or an IV site on that arm, and when the staff go to remove that adhesive, they, for lack of a better word, rip off that outer layer of skin. So that's how skin tears occur.
Tell me about the how we can minimize skin tears during that transfer process. You mentioned people maybe not using a gait belt, but what about when people, when nurses use or CNAs use sheets to move people? Talk about how we can take care to prevent those.
I think in preventing, I think one of the biggest things in preventing is identifying those residents that are at risk of developing a skin tear. So you want to be doing an assessment of patients that have sensory deficits related to like spina bifida or spinal cord injuries or multiple sclerosis, those kinds of things. Patients that are on certain medications that are going to thin their skin more so than the normal aging process. So patients that are on chronic steroid use for COPD, pulmonary issues, or patients that are on cancer treatments are typically on corticosteroids to reduce their risk of rejection. So identifying those patients, identifying patients that are at fall risk, identifying patients that have mobility issues and cognitive issues. So I think that's the first part. And you'll the nursing staff will have to look into the patient's medical history and using the minimum data sheet to identify those patients as well. And then once you've identified that, and of course, any patient can develop a skin tear, but using those biomechanics, having patients wear long sleeves and pants, using gait belts, using a draw sheet or some other glide underneath sheet to lift them up in the bed, moisturizing the skin, keeping it soft and supple so it isn't getting dry, those kinds of things.
Now that we know how to prevent it, what are some things that the nursing staff should be doing once they see one? Like, oh, we messed up. Like we in our transfer, we cause a skin tear, whatever. What are the next step for that nursing home?
Depends on the type of skin tear. So believe it or not, there is an international skin tear advisory panel. And so a skin tear can be a type one where it's a flap and the wound care nurse or the nurse can kind of reapproximate the edges. And then we'll get into the dressing part in a second. Or it could be a type two where there's some skin loss. You can't quite bring the edges together. And then there's type three, which is complete skin loss. So it really depends on the degree of the skin tear as to the treatment. Most of the treatment is going to be a moist wound dressing, and then absolutely no adhesives. Now, I will say that some providers will, when they are reapproximating the skin edges, use Steri-Strips. And if that's the case, they should leave the Steri-Strips alone. Don't take them off. Let them come off on their own. And there are some tricks that we can teach staff how to help facilitate removing the Steri-Strip if it's been on there for, like, I don't know, 15 days or whatever. But a moist dressing, use of silicone dressings, which are very, very skin friendly, and don't tear at the skin when you kind of lift it up to remove it, or Vaseline gauze is an inexpensive solution. But absolutely no tape to affix the dressing to the skin.
I would have never have thought of that in a million years, to not use like medical tape or, you know, a Band-Aid.
No. Yeah, it's the adhesive that will absolutely easily tear a older person's thin skin.
Something that I've learned today for the first time, that there is a skin tear advisory panel. I've been doing this for a long time, and obviously I think everybody that listens to this show knows that there's a pressure injury advisory panel, but not a skin tear advisory panel. That's amazing. So let's shift gears for a second. So what about burns in nursing homes? So let's start from the beginning as well. Like, what would constitute a burn to a nursing home resident?
Well, a burn in a nursing home resident is going to be a burn in any other patient, you know, in the general population. The American Burn Association has classified burns now as superficial, partial, and full thickness. We don't go by the nomenclature of first degree, second degree, third degree, fourth degree any longer. It's just easier for the rest of wound care and providers to understand partial thickness and full thickness. So much like in the general population, the most common type of burn or mechanism of burn injury is a scald. And that's pretty much the same for patients that are in residential facilities, nursing homes, assisted living facilities, et cetera. And that could be a scald injury from a hot liquid, hot soup, hot food, to a scald injury during bathing or showering.
So, so if I understand correctly, most of the time, the burns in long-term care, whether it's assisted living, personal care home, or nursing homes, are happening in the shower?
That or hot liquid being spilled. Hot coffee.
Hot coffee. Okay. I see.
Hot tea. I don't see too much in a nursing home setting or skilled nursing facility setting it being so much hot food. But yes, it is definitely hot liquid and shower. Now, the other type of burn injury that you can see is smoking-related burn injuries. You know, patients or individuals that are in a nursing home, it is their home. And such so that if they decide that they want to smoke, then we have to provide a safe space for them to smoke. And that's usually an area separate from their living quarters and separate from other exposure to other residents. But they have to be supervised, but they can still have their clothing catch fire if they're not being supervised. And you definitely don't want to have an individual smoking that's wearing oxygen. We see that a lot.
A lot in the general population.
If somebody comes in, if an elderly person comes in with a face burn, I can almost guarantee you they have a history of COPD and they're smoking on oxygen.
Oh my goodness. That's so awful. Okay. So let's set the smokers aside. We love the smokers, but I want to talk about the other side. So how does the typical scalding burn present?
Depends on the depth of the injury. As I had mentioned earlier, it is either going to be a partial thickness or full thickness. So a superficial burn is like a sunburn. So there's redness, there's erythema, but there's no blister formation. So it's like a bad sunburn. A partial thickness burn is going to be any burn injury that develops into a blister. Sometimes the skin, that epidermis, can slough off, but it will initially blister. And then the look of the wound bed, once that epidermis is removed, if it's pink and red and wet and moist, it's a partial thickness burn that should heal spontaneously with good local wound care within 7 to 21 days. A full thickness burn injury is going to look very different. It's going to look like very pale white, dry, usually not very painful. That doesn't mean that full thickness burns don't hurt in a deep way in the deeper tissues, but if you were to press on that pale white skin, it would not hurt the individual. So the treatment is going to depend on the depth of the burn injury. Partial thickness burns typically can heal within 7 to 21 days. And there are some caveats to that. If there's some comorbidities like diabetes or poor circulation, if it's a burn on the leg or the foot, or if they smoke, that can definitely take a partial thickness burn and convert it over to a full thickness burn. So partial thickness burns, we typically would just treat with a moist dressing again. Depending on what the dressing is, will dictate how often it's changed. But that's the treatment for a partial thickness burn is a moist dressing. And then full thickness burns typically require excision and skin grafting.
So do you think that, well, let me say this, does a non-clinician, like as a layperson, would they be able to tell the difference between a partial and a full thickness on a scalding burn?
Right? No. So it's really important, you know, nursing home staff, I don't even know how much education they receive upon their first hire to, you know, yearly updates. I don't know how much education they receive on wound care. I know they probably get zero on burn care, because burn is a subspecialty, and not all wound care providers know how to treat a burn and know what they're looking at. So you can't expect a nursing home staff to have that knowledge. So it's just best and they should be doing their skin checks every day. If they see something where there's a wound and they don't know how they got the injury, go to the emergency room for treatment.
But I guess then, I mean, if I understand you correctly, like, it's not just a layperson problem, it's a clinician problem as well, because there's not enough training on it to identify.
I mean, you can, if you're in a pretty big community hospital, I would think that the providers in the emergency room would be pretty well educated on burns. But in my area, even emergency room physicians that know that it's a burn injury and know that it's partial thickness, they will still refer them to our clinic, because we're a burn, you know, we're a burn specialty. So that's the right thing to do.
I think that this presents a real challenge, Suzanne, because if it's anything like a pressure injury, like whether it's a stage 2 or stage 3 or 4 is going to determine how you treat it. So if the clinician doesn't know if this is a partial thickness burn or a full thickness burn, they might be doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. Okay. And then I guess from a broader standpoint, what are some of the policies or procedures that a long-term care facility can implement to reduce the likelihood of these type of scalding incidents? Like, setting aside the smoking stuff, I think that, like...
I don't know what the policies are regarding the hot water heaters in a nursing home. Hot water heaters in your home or my home shouldn't be any higher than 120 degrees Fahrenheit. So, but it's also just not having residents left unattended showering or bathing if they have any cognitive issues or other mobility issues. So if they got any Alzheimer's or some other Lewy body dementia or Parkinson's or history of a stroke, they shouldn't be left unattended for obvious reasons. They can accidentally, a person that has a seizure disorder could have a seizure in the shower and inadvertently hit the hot water, and then they're gonna have a pretty intense scald injury.
Well, Suzanne, I really very much appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your knowledge with us.
Thank you. I hope it was somewhat enlightening.
It was for me. I enjoyed it. Thank you. Folks, I hope you found this episode educational. If you have an idea for a topic that you would like for me to talk about, please let me know. If you have an idea or suggestion for someone that you want me to talk to, please let me know that as well. New episodes of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast come out every single Monday. Please, for the love of all things holy, let me know that you want one of these mugs so I can get rid of them and get them out of my house so my wife leaves me alone. And with that, folks, we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal or medical advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes, for now, are available every other Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.